on Half Time. Mark Robinson.
For the second half of the year, to put it on the agenda at the board and make an assessment about continuation with our senior coach in terms of renewal. And as it sits at the moment, my understanding is that remains the same.
Look, I've never been on my knees. I've never knocked on doors. I have no intention of doing either. I am contracted to the end of this year. I would expect a coach at the end of this year. All I know is I'll give my best until my contract's up. And I'm quite content with it.
Bit of T-Swizz, bit of Bad Blood. Carlton Mick Malthouse is the bubbling story since an extraordinary Friday night to kick off Round 8. Mark Robinson was all across it from the Herald Sun, SEN Footy. Robbo, g'day.
G'day, Daniel. It was a dramatic start to the weekend, there's no doubt about that, but it ended in dramatic fashion as well, actually.
Yes, did
they? Oh, the Tigers Port Adelaide game.
The Tigers Port Adelaide? Sorry, I thought it was, we're still in the Mick thing.
It was massive. No, I said it started with dramatic fashion.
Yes.
And then on the field, it ended with dramatic fashion.
Interesting
and
game.
Saturday night was just fantastic to watch as well. Both games.
Both games, yeah. It was a good weekend of footy, I reckon. Really, from a contest point of view. We had a few upsets, which we love, Robbo.
We love upsets. Upset. There's some very bad losses. The North Melbourne loss was very bad. 73 points.
Yes.
They have excuses.
Well, you wrote about that in your main piece in the paper today.
Yeah,
the
I did.
The Frio juggernaut that continues to roll on. Enrolled gold. Blue collar enrolled gold.
That's what
you
it
said,
is.
In the tackle today.
He always says, no, we're just a blue collar team. Don't lie, Ross. Don't lie to us anymore. They are. It's just not what they did on the weekend. It's just. They just don't allow the opposition to play the game. They dominate with blitzkrieg football and they dominate with tempo football. They win contested ball. They've got superheroes on every line. I'm not saying they're going to win the flag. But if they're going to finish first or second, first.
Yep.
Home final, win that, home prelim. Want to be damn good, which you probably are when you get to a prelim. You're a good team.
My word.
But you got to go to Perth to do it. And the way Fremantle play, geez, will be a big ask.
They've pretty much locked themselves in for a home prelim, haven't they? Really?
Oh, well, again, anything can happen. They could win four in a row or four of the next six, but unlikely.
They're the dominant team in the competition for you at the moment.
Clearly.
By a margin.
I didn't know when I spoke to the great Glenn Luff yesterday.
Yes.
And I said, come on, mate. Well, they've got to be near 60 now, points against average. He said, 62. I said, what was the next lowest since then? He goes, 1966, Collingwood.
59.6
throughout the season.
Average score against, we're talking about here.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's pretty good in modern footy.
We should run a meteorologist, find out what sort of weather.
In 66?
Might have been a really sort of wet year.
Well, you can imagine the grounds in 66. There wasn't a lot of roofs covering any of the grounds at that time.
No,
there was a lot of new grass being sown.
There wasn't lights on the ground at Moorabbin, you think, during the week?
No. No, absolutely not. We're talking ankle deep in mud most of the year, you would think.
This might be a miracle caller, but if anyone's out there and can remember the winter of 66, give us a buzz, and I'm sure Daniel Harford will have a present for you.
Oh, I've always got a present for you. Get involved through the afternoon, 9429-1116 or 0433-98-1116. Just quickly, Robbo, I just want to touch on it quickly because I don't want it to dominate the discussion this afternoon, but it is the biggest bubbling story in footy, the situation at Carlton.
Yep.
We saw the different line from Stephen Trigg on Friday night in a radio interview,
yep,
which was very contrasting to the feedback that Mick was talking about during the week at his press conference. Was that just a miscommunication between two members of the hierarchy there, or was it a ploy to let the wall start to cave?
Oh, it's only opinion.
Oh, I know.
And you're looking from outside.
You're more informed than I am on these opinions.
But you're looking from
outside. Speak to the people that matter.
You look from outside. Did Mick on Friday go against the party line? Yes. There's no doubt he did. And when Stephen Trigg said, you know, Michael had been involved in all pre-season meetings, he knew where the club was situated. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, I agree with Mick that talking of rebuild can have an effect on the morale of the team. We heard Lee Montagna say it a couple of weeks ago. God, when we were told at St Kilda we were rebuilding, it was like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Now Orange will still go out and play. That's what we do. But it takes a bit of zip. So I agree with Mick in that front. But
players are understanding of the situation. They're not stupid. Aren't stupid. They know they're not contending for top four, for top eight spots with their list. They know that.
Of course they know.
As much as they try, and I was one of those players that every week you went to the game, you thought you could win.
Yep.
Every single week. When other people would have said, you are absolutely no chance. 90% chance. Of the population would have said, you are no chance. I would think every week that we can win this. That's what you think, I think, as a competitor. But they know their state of play with the list and when they're headed.
But it's the performances on the field, mate. This team's better than what they're producing. It's as simple as that.
No, I cannot disagree with that.
And it's just not the scoreboard. It's the way they play. I mean, last year people were pretty bullish about the Blues. You know, if people said they had a bad list last year, I would say that off the top of my head, six games, Carlton lost by what, 15 points or less. You know, they were competitive. They've just lost that edge, and it's fallen away badly.
Yeah.
Fallen away badly. I mean, I was only judging Mick on getting the best out of his team.
Yep.
And Carlton supporters.
That's all you can do.
But then the hoo-ha last week at the press conference on Friday, Triggs' pre-match comments, and then going on Fox 40 and Channel 7 to explain away his comments. He said pre-match.
Was that unprecedented?
I couldn't remember that happening. And even though it was good for Carlton supporters to hear that, I don't know if the messaging there was at its most sincere. I'm not trying to say that he was insincere, but when football clubs speak at what you call crisis times, what they try and do is they talk PR.
Hmm.
And they can't tell people the full story. Why didn't Stephen Triggs say, well, I just had a 10-minute conversation with Mick before he went to his press conference, and we've nutted a few things out. So that's emerged that Trigg and Mick had spoken.
Up before the presser.
Before the presser. Okay, well, that's my understanding of what happened. And of course it would.
Mm.
If you're a CEO, of course you're going to go and talk to your coach.
Well, if you're going to do a couple of TV interviews as that's happening.
And then it's Mick talking on after the game on Friday night compared to the way he was talking on Thursday.
Yeah.
They were just different people. Different people. Of course I'm on track. It's interesting, he didn't mention Martin Gudice. Is that how you pronounce
it?
Lutache. His name once on Friday night. It was Stephen this, Stephen that, Stephen Trigg.
Well, he's the buck dealing with him day to day, you'd think, the CEO.
Oh, yeah, you'd presume. The
president's not always there.
No, he's not, but he's there a fair bit.
Yeah, well, he would be at the moment.
He is
no
at
doubt.
The moment, yeah.
Have no doubt. We'll just take two calls on this and we'll move on because it is a big bubbling story. It's one of the, well, clearly one of the legends of Australian rules football is Mick Malthouse. Brad's in Pakenham. G'day, Matt. Brad.
G'day, Robbo. Just a question, mate. What's
Princess
Park called now?
Icon Park.
Does that stand for In Secret Carlton on Notice?
Well, I could have, but it's the K is a K, yeah, instead of a C.
Okay.
Yeah. So, bad luck.
So, sorry, Brad. No, it's a K. Ikon Park. There, it's formerly Princess Park. Brent's at Riddles Creek. G'day, Brent.
G'day, boys. I'm a passionate Carlton man, and I'm hurting just as much as a lot of us at the moment. But half, I've got to ask a question as a former player yourself,
yep,
in the AFL. What's worse, your club saying that we're rebuilding, or your coach claiming that we don't have the cattle? They're both as bad as each other, aren't they?
I'll go back to my point I was talking about with Robbo before. Most players, particularly guys that have been around for a couple of seasons, not so much the new boys, particularly guys that have been around a couple of seasons, you know the state of play. Deep down, you know where you sit in the scheme of things. So you would know, if you're a Carlton player, you would know, just through all the analysis of footy that goes on these days and looking around you in the locker room, that you don't have a team that's going to be a competitive team against the best teams in the competition. Really. So that's the reality of it. Players aren't stupid. Players know exactly what's going on. The job of the coach in this point of view, Brent, is to, regardless of what they know and what the coach knows, is to rally them together week in, week out to play a brand of football that has the energy that's required at the level and to build a system of play that can be repeatable time after time, regardless of the situation of the game or the opposition. That doesn't seem to be happening at the Blues at the moment. That's the biggest issue, Brent. It's not so much the messages. It's what's happening in the four walls of the change room and the performance on the park. That's the problem. The players know. They're not stupid. Mm. But I can understand your frustration, pal. And it's a rough time for Carlton supporters. Now, other clubs have had some rough times in recent years as well, so you're not Robinson Crusoe, but this is affecting you at the moment. Starting the line, I'm going to give you a Select Collector Cards Champion Collector Pack from Select. Two Bataki Australian Leg Hams, two rounds of golf, the Keysborough Golf Club. That'll cheer you up. And a Comics Lounge Gold Pass as well for you and a mate. You can laugh yourself silly there at the Comics Lounge. 20 past one, more footy with Robbo after the break. We'll move on from the Blues. There's plenty of good stuff on the weekend, Robbo. We'll talk about that. I'm sure some of the bad stuff will come up too. But take your calls, 9429 1116. 23 past one, Robbo is with us. Check out his tackle, superfooty.com.au every Monday. Wake up to his tackle, it's fantastic. And then, of course, he's a huge part of our SEN footy team as well. Had a great chat for footy fans and for Blues fans as well with Bryce Gibbs on Crunch Time on Saturday, which is up at the website, sen.com.au. He's pretty raw, wasn't he, Bryce?
He was fantastic. Credit to him, we said that, for putting his head up. And he's, you know what he did? I thought he spoke the truth. He just said, I am so embarrassed with some of the answers I'm giving because we don't know the answers to why we're in this situation. Mm. And he can't explain why the insipid performances. It was raw and it was real. It was he was bleeding like Carlton supporters were bleeding. And I think Carlton supporters who are in a bad trot at the moment thinking what's going on do know that the players are feeling it. And Bryce Gibbs on Saturday, it just didn't shone through the microphone. The pain in his voice was quite vivid.
You can check it out, sen.com.au. A couple of big milestones on the weekend for a couple of stars of the competition, Robbo. Nat Fyfe in his 100th game for Freo, but also Scott Pendlebury's 200th game for the Magpies up there at Metricon Stadium. Both players, spectacular.
Yeah, I actually thought Pendlebury was more spectacular than Fyfe. Going to sound ridiculous. Fyfe had a pretty good game of 37 touches.
Pretty good.
But he was more of a link man. You know, he got some clearances and a couple of tackles, but he was more of a link man. He wasn't a high marking, galloping, hitting the ground and running off. Didn't kick a goal.
Yep.
It was a solid 37 touch performance.
Solid.
You ever had one of them?
I had one of those.
Was it solid or spectacular?
It was spectacular. It was spectacular.
I mean, I watched the game and I thought Lachie Neale, I thought Michael Walters. There's a lot of players who could have been best player. I didn't think he was.
Well, this
dominant.
Is what you're writing about today in the tackle.
They're
not relying upon the one. It's
absolutely
it's game
not.
Played by committee is what one of your quotes I think today.
Do you like that line?
I like that line. That's why I quoted it.
Football is played. They play football as a committee. That means everyone's in. Michael Wallace kicks four goals up one end. Lee Spur stops Lindsay Thomas up the other.
Yep.
You know, Zach Clark is really coming on. Dizzy can be a good player. And you got Michael Johnson at the other end. He's all Australian right now as we speak. So, everywhere, you know. And the really crucial move for Fremantle, I reckon, is Lachie Neale's gone into the middle, which has meant that Michael Barlow, who's got a really, really good football brain, is now playing sort of wing half forward, kicking goals.
He's also a good size, Michael Barlow. Yeah. Like he's quite tall.
So they've juggled their mids. That means Tendai Mazungu's not getting a game because Sutcliffe's got a back flank. Pierce has got a back flank wing.
Well, they're creating pressure for every spot. That's what they're doing.
They are, absolutely. And they've got guns, mate.
Yeah.
And not just Fyfe and Mundy. Michael Walters, Ballantyne. Barlow on a flank. Oh, they were just a very, very good team, and the numbers are frightening.
With Pendlebury, where do you see the Pies at the
Pendlebury,
moment? They smacked the Gold Coast, but
Pendlebury was more spectacular than Fyfe on the weekend.
Yep.
You know, he just was. 200 games. Everyone loves Scott Pendlebury as a footballer. Do you love him?
I love him.
Yeah, I love him.
I'm trying to think if everyone does.
Everyone loves Scott. How can you not love the way
Pendlebury... Most people would.
Sure he hasn't done anything that would upset anyone.
No, that's probably a fair point. It's a fair point.
And when you look at him, all you say is, geez, I wish he was playing for my team. That's all you say.
Yeah, everyone says that, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so that's love. Yeah. Right? So when you say that, that's love. He played forward a lot in the weekend, more than he's ever done.
He's doing a bit of that, though.
Yeah. I reckon he's carrying a leg.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. He's not right, I don't think. I don't think he's been carrying something. I think he has. And anyway, he was just enormous. And that positional move of him going forward, I think he played like 20%, 25% forward on the weekend.
Yep.
Works wonders, mate.
He's 192. He's got really long arms. You're talking about Michael Barlow's football brain.
Oh, yeah,
Pendlebury,
yeah.
In that area of the ground's fairly dangerous. Oh, evasive, yeah. Both sides of the body.
Find space. You find space when there's 20 players around the ball.
Mm.
He's a very, very good player.
5-3 at the moment, the Magpies, sitting in fifth position. Robbo, you believe in the Magpies, or is this just...
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. They've beaten some bottom teams, and I think Essendon might be their best goal, I think. They've been by Richmond. Yep. This weekend against North Melbourne, I know it's only the Monday, but we always push forward as well as look behind. This weekend's game, Collingwood, North Melbourne, MCG, 3:20, which means the sun will be setting and it'll be finished in darkness. We're going to find out a lot about Collingwood and North Melbourne. If Collingwood knock over North Melbourne, I will become a believer, even though North were pretty poor on the weekend. But if North want to get to where they want to go, which is not going to be top four, but finals, they should beat teams like Collingwood. But they've got no Wells. They're a bit sort of harnessed at the moment. No Wells, no Del Santo, and Swallow didn't play on the weekend. So you suspect that Swallow will be coming back. I don't know about Wells.
Well, seems to be off the charts at the minute. It's just off the radar, and there's not a lot being spoken about. Every press conference, Brad Scott answers a question about him, but gives little insight into the situation. There's a smell about this.
This happened last year, mate.
Daniel Wells
was going to miss two, and he missed, like, off the top of my head, was it 8, 10 or something?
I can't remember.
So much footy.
A good portion, anyway.
A good portion. It's happening again. It's happening again. I'm not going to... It's easy to sit here and say, come on, he's not durable, but only Daniel Wells can answer, and the doctors can answer, is the injury so bad that he's now missed, what, 4? What, can be another 5? I mean,
so
what is the issue? What is the issue? Tell me the issue with his foot or leg. What is it?
I can't do that.
Neither can I. It's like a mystery foot. It's a mystery leg injury.
It's a foot.
It's his foot. So he's got a sore foot. He's got a fracture, has he?
There's some rumblings that he's not in the condition that he should be in either. There's some rumblings through the last couple of weeks that perhaps his physical condition isn't where it should be for an elite player. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, he's got to get out there and play. I mean, we make these grand statements from so far away, but, you talk to some people and they're surprised.
Achilles tendon, indefinite.
Achilles tendon. So what?
We spoke about Achilles last week in the program.
Tell me, have you ever heard your Achilles?
Not to this point, no.
Well, what is to what point?
Well, I thought, missing these amount of games.
I thought with an Achilles, and I'm not a doctor. Yeah, they rupture it.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they rupture it, or it's sore. So if it's sore, what you play and it's sore, there might be a chance of rupturing it. I mean.
Becomes chronic. We spoke about Achilles last week on the program on our Fit and Well segment. Daniel Wells needs to get a podcast of that, sen.com.au, and find out how to fix it. They take a long time to get right. That is one thing about the Achilles.
They couldn't move the ball in the weekend. Now, whether if they had these guys, they would have been able to do it better, probably, but not to the extent of raising a 73-point loss.
Mm-hmm.
They fly Fremantle in the first quarters. They just play Blitzkrieg footy.
Yep.
It is unbelievable. And I'd like to get a stat. Ask Luffy on Thursday. I'd like to get a stat of Fremantle scores against opposition at the 15-minute mark of the first quarter. Off the top of my head, I reckon it'd be 23 goals, 6 to
off the top
3-1.
Of
I don't know.
23-6.
They start games with whoosh.
Yep.
Away you go. And then they just control the game. They control the tempo. They keep the ball. Put in the paper today, they're 16th for tackles. 16th.
Freo.
For tackles.
You don't need a tackle. A bit like KB. You don't tackle when you've got the ball, son.
Exactly what they're doing. They deny the opposition the ball. But they're their number one contested ball side, Daniel.
What about the Kangaroos next 3 weeks before the bye? West Coast at Blunstone, down in Tassie this week. Sydney's one.
North Melbourne play.
Oh, sorry.
Collingwood.
Then West Coast. Sorry, I jumped ahead. West Coast at Blunstone. Sydney Swans at Etihad. Ooh. And then the Giants at
Ooh.
Spotless. The Giants, the all-killing Giants.
It's 4-4. We're talking about them that they're in trouble. What if they're 4-8? Four of their losses have come by more than 11 goals.
How many?
More than 11 goals.
Four of their losses? Their
three,
losses.
Three of their four
three of
losses.
Their losses, yeah.
Yeah, three of their four losses.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's not good at all, mate.
That's not top four stuff.
Not good. What about, let's go off them.
No,
off
them. We'll take a break shortly. We're going to get to Dennis the weatherman. You threw out a question about 1966 weather. Dennis, the weatherman, has helped us out. Dennis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, fellas. 1966 was quite a bit of a wet year. We had above average rainfall. We had probably about 80 millimetres more than what we normally do, which is around 650. So we had around about 720.
You know off the top of your head, Dennis?
No. I've just researched it. When you started talking about it, I had a look on the BOM website. There's certain places you can go to. And there were every single month we had above average rainfall for each month during that year.
So you can imagine the grounds, Robbo.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, does the BOM government, today we have the northeast, and we in Melbourne we say it's raining in Moorabbin, but it's not raining. Do they have the information that it might have been raining more in Collingwood than, say, it was at St Kilda? They wouldn't have that breakdown, Dennis, would they?
Dennis is not
no,
sure.
Dennis no, is
no,
gone.
Dennis is really... He's thinking about that.
Kev's gone. Oh.
Thinking about that. What happened in game three, Robert?
I don't know.
LeBron's looking upset.
They're interviewing LeBron.
BT will have the result in Sports Central. Stand by, Cavs fans, Falcon fans. LeBron seems downhearted. We'll find out why after this. 21-2. Robbo is with us on halftime. Great to have you on a Monday afternoon every week. 1 till 2. You can check in and see what you thought about the weekend's footy action. I have your say, more importantly, on the weekend that was 9-4-2-9-11-16. Now, I'm just going through your likes and dislikes in the tackle today,
yep.
Robbo. And I found myself looking at the Ryan Griffin like.
Oh, he was...
For the Giants.
Sensational.
You've been waiting for that, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I have. I'll be honest, I've been disappointed in Ryan Griffin this year. It's as though he's a funny sort of footballer, Ryan Griffin. Sometimes he looks so disinterested that he just trots along.
Yep.
When the ball comes to him, he'll use it and get it and handball. That's what he's been doing. But when Ryan Griffin has got the ball and is running and balking and taking on, he made fools of some Adelaide opponents on the weekend. Just danced around them. It was Ryan Griffin at his tiptoeing best. Like he would get around them and he would just run. At one stage he was running down the far wing. I think he took three bounces and hit a play on the lead lace out, which is really difficult to do. Even AFL players running three-quarter pace, hitting a guy across the body, lace out with a 35-metre kick, and he didn't break stride. It's a very difficult kick. But he was...
He's capable. He's a player more than capable of that.
At 24, I think he had eight tackles.
Eight tackles, nine clearances, five inside 50s.
Oh, I mean, that's a dominant... But that's a really, really good performance.
I spoke to Alan McConnell about the GWS situation last week on the program and talked about the importance of getting Ryan Griffin to the club and how that's impacted the guys around him, the Treloar and Scheel and those sort of fellas that are now getting off the chain a bit because everyone's focusing so heavily on Ryan Griffin when he goes to the middle of the field. Even Callum Warne's got off the chain a bit the way he plays. Now, so he's been almost, not for want of a better term, the decoy for these other guys. Everyone focuses on Griffin and the other guys get off the chain and cause havoc. So he's playing almost a really selfless role is what they were talking about. And I think it's probably right. Watching a few of their games, I haven't seen them live, watching a few of their games on telly, there's so much emphasis placed by opposition teams on Griffin around
not
the
footy. Not so much. I reckon I've seen GWS six times.
I reckon there is.
This year. I've watched him pretty closely.
Yep.
It's whether you like it or not, when you have play fantasy football and you've got a player in your team,
no, I haven't.
Right? You do. You watch those players. But he was always particularly interested in me. Another player who's really, really playing well is Tom Scully.
Yep.
You know, it's a couple of weeks in a row he's had really strong contributions.
Was that his best game for the Giants?
Let's settle with one of his best.
One of his best.
Okay, I can't remember if it's been better or not. But yeah, the Griffin was good. They're deep. Treloar, Scheel. They were playing Hoskin Elliott four of the weekend.
Like
God, hasn't he got some talent?
He's my man.
So they've got at the moment McCarthy, Cameron, Hoskin Elliott was floating in as a third. Toby Green's been kicked out of the midfield, has become sort of like a high half forward kind of role. And he's a bit awkward with his kicking, but he knows how to find it. So he's a real ball getter as a half forward. I don't know if he's so much of a goal kicker, but he can. They're growing. And they've got Cameron. Oh, not Cameron. They've got Stewart floating around there as well. He's an athletic beast.
Yep.
So they've got a lot of things going for them. They play the Dogs this week.
Griff would be happy about that, wouldn't he? Just get this one out of the way?
Yes, I suppose, if he's that emotionally in turmoil.
What do the Doggies fans think about that? What they'll be like this week? It's Etihad Stadium, that game.
They'll boo him. They'll boo him.
Saturday afternoon.
You decide to leave anyone, no matter who you are, mate, you get booed. But more importantly, how are the Dogs travelling? I mean, Melbourne yesterday had too much energy, too much commitment. I think Luke Beveridge said after the game, this game's about who wants the ball.
Yep.
Who wants it the most? And Melbourne clearly wanted it the most. Well, they had more players wanting the ball most. Vandenberg was fantastic. So it was Jesse Hogan. So it was Bernie Vince. Be a good interview, Bernie. I might try and interview him.
There was the second quarter of that game was all one way, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Considering the Bulldogs have been so ferocious around the footy in their good performances this year. Now, the bad ones, it's been a little bit different. That may be one of the triggers for the Dogs. But that second quarter was remarkable, the way that Melbourne just dominated the ball.
And the Dogs were under siege.
Yeah.
They were on the back foot. They couldn't get it. They couldn't do anything about it. They were just second. You know, they very rarely were they first to the ball. When it was up for grabs, Melbourne wanted it more.
And they had a little rally in the third quarter, but some great defensive efforts again in the last quarter to set them up, set the D's up.
And then they ran away.
With a terrific performance.
They went away with it, won by 36, 39 points.
39 points. Jesse Hogan's getting a lot of love off the SMS.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
21 posies, 3 snags.
Well, what about Tom Boyd? I heard KB Plough and Marty Blake talking about it this morning.
Yep.
You're going to say to me he's only 17?
I'm going to say he's only a boy still.
He is only a boy, but Jeremy Cameron was only a boy when he kicked 6 in his second year.
Yep.
Jesse Hogan's only a boy. He's doing what he's doing.
But he was never as what's the term here?
What's the term?
As athletically put together, as complete. Like Jeremy Cameron was what he was going to be when we saw him. He's not anywhere near as heavy as he'll end up being. He put on some weight through the journey, but he was almost mature to the, had stopped growing, was mature and was playing to that level of footy. He was happy in his body, comfortable in his body. I don't think watching Tom Boyd play, he's anywhere near as well completely put together.
I don't know if he wants to put on more weight, Tom Boyd. He's not the fastest kid going around or tall going around.
But you can make him powerful. This is the thing with particularly massive unit. He's a massive unit, Tom Boyd.
He is a big lad. Massive. He is a big lad.
And we all know there's not too many that come out of the box at that size and have the impact in their first couple of seasons. The only reason we're talking about Tom Boyd is because of the packet.
Right, let's talk about, let's say he's on, which he is, he's on whatever he is on this year, $50,000, second year of his rookie contract. So he's going to be on $1 million next year.
Is he $50,000 this year?
Yeah, he's not on it yet.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that the rookies first and second year, you're on a certain wage.
Maximum. Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, I think you might be right.
And
absolutely. Yeah.
But every time I see Tom, and I think, okay, yep. He doesn't look fit. I don't think his second efforts are there. And I wonder, and I'm going to get held down here, I know, because he's only a kid at 19. But I wonder if he has that animal drive.
The killer instinct, is that what you're saying?
The killer instinct that's required. Now, I'll be watching that. We all watch it. See, we had this discussion last week with Jack Watts, mate. Mm-hmm. When Jack came to Melbourne, you play him. He's your number one draft pick. You play him.
If he's ready.
And then what happens? Go, oh, yeah, but maybe not hard enough there, Jack. But that's okay. He's learning. But then there comes over a crossover time. And we're nowhere near that yet with Tom Boyd. Mm-hmm. Nowhere near it. It might be 2 years away, 3 years ago. Three years away.
Yep.
But you come to a point where you say, you know what, how we wanted him to be really aggressive? I don't know if that's in his makeup. So I've got time. I don't know about anyone else. I've got time to look at this kid and say, righto, wonder what he's going to grow into.
I'm prepared to sit out on Tom Boyd for a bit. I just think that having seen players of his size and stature come into the game, very few, I can't think of too many, to be honest with you, at that size, 100 plus kegs.
Tom Hawkins.
No, but he was a slow burn.
Yeah, he was a slow burn, but he had kill in him.
But he was...
He was clumsy.
What final series was it? Was it 2009?
Oh, how can you remember back then?
One of those. He had a really good final and a good grand final. It was against Collingwood. What year was that? I don't remember. 11. Might have been 11. That was when Tom Hawkins had arrived.
Yep.
That grand final, that final series.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. No. Now I remember. It started with a game at the Gabba against Brisbane when he took 4 contested marks in a quarter and kicked 3 goals. It was the first time that Tommy ripped apart a game. And now from that moment on...
What year was that?
I reckon that was the grand final year where he played well in the grand final.
Yep.
It was about 6 weeks out, I reckon, from the grand final.
Yep.
I remember writing about it. It was the first time Hawkins looked unstoppable on the field. Do you want me to keep talking as you're going through the book?
Well, he was drafted in 2000. He debuted 2007. So there's 4 years in before he arrived. So I'm prepared to sit on time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, cool.
12 to 2. Back with more calls after this. Righto, Robbo. Let's get some calls on the footy on the weekend. Sam and Kilo Downs is on the open line. 9429 1116. Hello, Sam.
G'day, Young Half and Robbo. Look, I just want to highlight an incident involving Jesse White in the Gold Coast game. Yep. Just before half-time, there was a collision, which was accidental. Jason Dunstall, who was calling at the time, said, oh, no, that was just 2 players going for the ball, umpire. When they replayed it in slow motion, Jesse White nearly got his head decapitated. And that insult to injury... Jason Dunstall continued on saying, that there wasn't a free kick there. If 99 out of 100 people viewed that incident, Jesse White would have been awarded a free kick.
So what are you concerned about, Sam? The fact that there was no free kick?
Or Dunstall?
I was concerned the way that Jason Dunstall's ego got in his way and he didn't back down after viewing it. He still persisted and... went on with his line that Jesse White warranted a free kick. If you replay that, Robbo, on 360 and get Jason Dunstall's comments, I'll be very interested to see what your response would be.
I'll try and do that. I'm not the producer. That's your job, Robbo.
Sam wants you to do one thing for him all year, and that's it. Come on, make it happen.
I'll ask Jason Dunstall about it.
Do that. Thank you, Sam. Nick's in Pasco Vale. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Going well.
Good. Love your show, Half.
Thanks, Nick.
I just wanted to make a couple of points about the fixture, if I could.
Do your best.
Well, firstly, I know the AFL likes to put better performing teams on a Friday night, but I think they've missed a trick with Carlton, not so much because of the way they're going at the moment, but they should have even known last year that they weren't that great.
Yeah, I think we've all agreed with that one through this season.
The second point was...
And I suppose leading into the second point, I've got an idea about the fixture that might appease all the masses out there. I'd love the 17-5 idea, but I've got a better one. How about 17-4 with a twist? The 23rd round or last round can be a guaranteed blockbuster where you get your guaranteed showdowns and derbies and Essendon and Collingwood twice.
In the last round of the season?
Yeah.
There's still the question of... If we're talking about equalising the competition, having these blockbusters for the sake of having those teams play together, that doesn't really equalise the competition. I get your point, but I'm not sure it's the answer long term. Nico, thanks for calling, though. Welcome anytime, 9429 1116. Henry's in Brisbane, Robbo. G'day, Henry.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
G'day, Henry.
Yeah, Robbo, just firstly, before I go on the lines, just love your passion. I just think you're the greatest, favourite sports journalist in the land. So
me too, Henry.
Keep it up.
Thank you, Henry. Give him a prize.
Boys, just a few quick comments on the Lions. On James Ash, I don't want to harp on the issue because everyone up here is talking about it, or we're supposed to be talking about it if we're following the AFL. I just think that he's, from a management point of view, I'm not sure if he's been biased correctly. James is quite a quiet young fella. And it's not exactly, I don't think it's in his nature. He wouldn't want to be on the front page of papers with contract negotiations. You know, I know he met with Carlton and all that sort of stuff. I know that's true. But I don't think that he's the type who would want to be, you know, thrown around. He's a quiet young fella. And I really think that Pickering here is trying to say, hey, mate, I can get you, you know, 600K, 700K a year, probably, you know, 6-7 year deal, Carlton or Richmond or one of those clubs. I don't think Adelaide or Port Adelaide are interested in him. But I just question about the advice that he's receiving from his management. And secondly, just Justin Lepich, every time I hear the man talk, I see a vision and I see a man who manages people and young players as well as any coach in the competition. So
we had Justin the coach's box last week, Robbo. He's very good.
Yes, I like Lepper. I like him.
And the James A situation?
How do I know what Pickering's doing?
He's the wolf. You know that. He's the wolf. That's what you called him.
He's the wolf. He hates me.
Does he?
I was driving the radio on the weekend.
What does he hate
I don't
you
listen
for?
To his show because I usually listen to the Coulda Beans on the same time.
Right.
And he says, call me Robinson. And no one does it. So when you're just getting spat out, Robinson, it's quite funny.
It's like when your mother says, Daniel. You know, you're in trouble. Yeah. You use a whole name. Daniel, off and get here.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Brisbane went to try and talk to Ace before Christmas. And they were told, no, he wants to put contract talks off. And then it was said that, oh, no, I think Pickering said it will start him after Christmas, or Brisbane said it. Oh, we'll get to him after Christmas. Christmas came and went, then the pre-season came and went, then the season started. Then the season started, and I said about then, lock it in, he won't be at Brisbane next year. Mm. And then it came out about 4 weeks later. So Pickering.
The wolf.
Do you know, who's the number one draft pick? Is it Wiedering? Possibly?
Yeah, possibly.
Is that his name?
Possibly.
We don't know.
Not big on the kids.
See, Pickering's got him as well. And Brisbane have discussed at senior management and board level, football department level, whether they should take Wiedering, because the manager often says we're putting talks off until the end of the year.
The Wolf.
That is a fact.
He's got another one, another exclusive there from Robbo on halftime. Robbo, you've got 30 seconds. What does that win mean for the Tigers?
Oh, enormous. Enormous. They lost 3 in a row after the Melbourne game. Got over the line from Collingwood and the leaders stood up again yesterday. Jack, Ivan, Brett DeLidio's in ripping neck. That was a great... You should hear Jack after the game speaking about it. In real emotion in his voice.
Pretty important player, that DeLidio, turns out.
Very.
Who would have thought? Good on you, mate. Good to see you. Have a great night tonight on 360. Check out his tackle, superfooty.com.au. 1 to 2 o'clock, news time on halftime.